Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining me here today. I'm Henrik. It is the 10th of September, 2026. Hope you're all doing wonderfully well out there in the internet lands. Good to be back with you guys. Hope you're having a wonderful Thor's Day. It is Thor's Day, ladies and gentlemen. Already, we'll be back with Flashback Friday tomorrow. Obviously, Lana's going to be joining us then as well. We're going to do part two together with the dissident on the AI tech god of Peter Thiel. I guess that was the title of the video, but it's going to be very interesting. Anyway, glad you're joining us. Today, though, we're going to cover some of the stuff pertaining to the Swedish election. There's a lot more other stuff on the docket here, too, which I'm sure we'll get into. But I wanted to cover it a little bit because, of course, we just had the kind of important election in Germany, obviously, when it comes to the rise of the AfD there. And, of course, we've seen the rise of the Sweden Democrats for... What is it now? When did they come into, was it 2004 election? Does memory serve me right, chat? Does anyone of you guys remember? Is anyone from Sweden? When did they get into the actual, kind of mainstream established parties that you can kind of vote for when they can begin to have seats? I think that was 2004 and it was this big shock kind of thing, right? But it feels like they've been like kind of on the cusp forever, and it's kind of hovering over the same amount of votes that they're getting. I mean, they are growing, but then at the same time, they're cucking harder now than they ever have. Like the rhetoric, the readiness, the people are ready, and the Sweden Democrats continue to cuck on the issues, and doubling down on being weaker instead of being stronger, right? And it's incredibly frustrating. And yeah, they kind of suck. You know what I mean? Like they suck on a lot of issues. But it's what else do we have right now? Kind of thing, right? An alternative for Sweden is great, but the reality is, I'm not saying don't vote for them, but I'm saying that they're not going to get the votes that the Sweden Democrats are going to get. That's just the reality of it, right? So we're like in this weird kind of like, are we going to be sinking below the population number that we need as Swedes when it comes to Sweden? To vote for a party like the Sweden Democrats in order to at least nominally begin to fight back against the replacement genocide? Or is that going to be too late and the brown people is going to increase and then the window is closed? I don't know. It feels like this has been the last 2-3 election cycles. We've talked about the kind of the same thing and nothing happens. What how much more will it take? Normies, what more do you want? What can we do here to help you out? Okay, something needs to be done here, obviously, right? Because you can't go on. I like this. So you check in on the election campaign and you search a little bit, and it's just like an endless slew of like nons doing like promotion of how you can vote in the Swedish election. I think two election cycles ago, something like that. We covered how, like, there's this enclave down in Turkey where they go to vote in the Sweden elections every election. And it was like, why? And it was like, well, they were granted citizenship or something back in the 70s, you know, so they were temporarily in Sweden for a while. They got Swedish, citizenship. And then they actually went back. So good for them for going back. But then it turns out, then the Sweden Democrats set up this whole, like an institutional promotion campaign. This down in this, I believe it was Turkey. Anyway, I'll see if I can find the clip. We can play it later. The Social Democrats. This is, got to keep this different. The Social Democrats, and then you have the Sweden Democrats. Okay. Lots of Democrats here. You know, for the Americans, like, oh, are they all Democrats? And what kind of Democrats? Old school Democrats. Anyway, so Sweden Democrats is basically what like the Social Democrats used to be, I don't know, 30 years ago, something like that. I don't know, maybe even weaker. I don't know, actually. But anyway, so they have this whole, Social Democrats have set up this entire like campaign in order to get all these people, these Turks with Swedish citizenship, to vote for the Social Democrats. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing, isn't it? What are you guys in chat saying? Canucks in chat. Dagtastic, that's right. Peter Thiel, Nick Sand. No, it's Nick Land, not Nick Sand. Voketopia. Thank you, Voketopia, for becoming a monthly supporter over on Rumble. We appreciate you. We're gonna get into it here in just just a little bit. Where's my pads at? Do I have my pads? I think I do have my pads. We're gonna do this first, ladies and gentlemen, because here he is, Albert. Here he is, coming in strong. Look at this guy here. 365, keeping the lights on in the Red Eyes headquarters. Hi, Henrik. Looking forward to watching this one at home. Hope you're doing well. Take care. Love you guys. Love you too, Albert. Thank you so much. You're incredible. Give King Albert shout-outs in chat. Hail Albert, King Albert, double Romans. We love you, man. Thank you so much. You're amazing. You're incredible. We can't do this without you. That's your Albert challenge for today, ladies and gentlemen, in chat. 365. From King Albert, can you collectively, in the audience, match King Albert? Well, that remains to be seen. Up to you guys. I guess maybe I should include, we got a donor in late. Yesterday? We got a great donor from. I got to pull you up here then. Can't you just say that and then not go follow through? that's not how this works, is it? let me find it here. Where'd you go? Gotta find it right there. Okay, we'll just say Renee. Thank you, Renee. No message, but a dono. $100. Thank you. We get a Caius for that. Thank you, Renee. We appreciate you. That came in a little bit late yesterday, so I assume it's after the following stream. Thank you. We appreciate you. That's awesome. So that's almost a little bit more than one quarter to the way of meeting the Albert Challenge today, if we include Renee, and we will. Thank you. We appreciate you very, very much. All right. Anyway, let's get back to it here, and let's get into the topic and talk about this a little bit. Sweden's election could bring far right a place at the heart of government. And it's like, it's the same headlines every election cycle, because this is... Yeah, we know they're already part of the government. They're part of the Tidö agreement. It's like this kind of collaboration, these blocks that they form, right, with the moderate party, with the Christian Democrats. Is there another party in there or not? I forget. And then the Sweden Democrats. They're all part of a coalition. And in fact, Sweden Democrats have ceded a lot of like power and a lot of positions. Maybe there were some reworkings at hindsight that, and I didn't follow up on every single thing, so maybe they did get some other people in certain positions or whatever, right? But there's been talks about this, so like they're going to gain more and more power and more seats or whatever. And it's like, sure, yeah, when can we get some to see, can we at least see how hard they will cuck? Because it's hard to be super excited about them, and then at the same time it's hard not to want to support them, because it's still one of the only options that we have, right? So we're stuck between a rock and a hard place. But as they say, beggars can't be choosers. And right now we don't have any other options. So the Sweden Democrats, it is for now. And if that means that they will fail, so be it. But what are you going to do? We're standing on the sidelines watching this and wondering, as I said, we're kind of wondering... When had the normies had enough, right? Because if you see some of this stuff from this election campaign, you know, like the way that it's just like Arabification, Muslimification of the whole election cycle and the outreach, and we see this in the UK, we see this in Germany, we see this everywhere. So it's not unique to Sweden, as we know, obviously, right? But you think like just looking outside of this as an outside, like, or just seeing. Some of these things should be jarring to people, but it's now so normalized and people are so desensitized that you don't know. Maybe there is nothing that can be done for this to tip over. I'm not sure. Anyway, here's Simon Jonsson here writing for Reuters. Save human rights. There you go. Campaigners at a rally protest against the government's immigration policies. So we're not, according to these goblins here in the picture, I guess we're not doing enough to replace ourselves. They're protesting against government's immigration because they're so hard line, I guess, apparently, before upcoming elections here in Stockholm. Refugees welcome Stockholm. There you go. There you go. That's all. That's what it's about right there. And here's Jimmy. Woo! We do. Let's make Sweden Swedish again. We will make Sweden Swedish again. So it's kind of a. It's kind of the marketing is kind of like. It's a softer version of Sweden for the Swedes, which was this. I'll see if I can find it. Right, it's like this the continuous campaign that is being brought up about the Nazi past of the Sweden Democrats. Let me see if I can find it. Sweden Democrats. Let me see if I can add that in. Really, is it that hard to find? I'll be damned. Okay, well, I gotta get. Maybe they've just sanitized that from the Google image search. I'll find it. It was like this blue and yellow with a Viking on there, kind of thing. Like Sweden for the. This is a version of it. This is older, an older version of it here. The same style, right? It's made in this style. Sverige åt svenskarna. Sweden for the Swedes, right? And so this is the not, maybe if I click in on the Wikipedia page here for this. Oh, that's Wikimedia Commons. Okay, that's not going to get me there. Anyway, I'll find it. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? It's a little bit of a it's a little bit of a kind of a flash of a softened version of that. It's a flashback to that, but a cuckier version of it, basically, right? But what do you mean, right? There's been this discussion, but what is a Swede then? You know what I mean? If they're not genetically Swede, like what are they then, right? But I'll take it. It's better than the alternative, obviously, right? Kind of thing. So that's the Jimmy Åkesson on the election campaign. Anyway, let me should we read a little bit here? Swedish vote will decide if far right sit in government. Well, they already do sit in government. So what's the the Nazis are close again. Polls show tight race. Left opposition with narrow advantage. Complicated task for left or right to form a majority. And of course, that's true in almost every one of these Western European countries now. Because it is where it's a seesaw right now in terms of the power. But of course, these parties are, if not the third, they're if not the second largest party, they're the third or right adjacent. They're right there, and they don't have enough to form a government, you know, by themselves, right? But they can do it with a coalition, which is what happened last time. So anyway, so the election is on the 13th of September, this upcoming Sunday. Maybe should I do a stream? Are you guys even interested in that? Should I do a? Is it worth covering? I mean, if Sunday, it would be like, well, if I start late enough, I guess, on Sunday, it will be early, you know, morning hours, Monday in Sweden, so we should have the results done. Give me one in chat, even put it down in the comments or something. Give me a one in chat if you want me to cover that live, because we could, if you're interested in that. I mean, we can turn it into, you know, some other type of analysis more than just watching the poll numbers, obviously. But if you want to, I will consider doing it. So give me a heads up on that, guys. One in chat there if you want me to do it. Otherwise, give me a middle finger in chat if you don't want me to. No, we don't care. Sandro's pretty dead as far as streaming goes. Maybe it is. Okay. Far right is reshaping Europe's political landscape. Yes. I mean, we are, right? The problem is, though, it's not far right enough. It needs to go from being far white to exclusively white, far white. The white wing. When is the white wing showing up? That's what it needs to be. But even in terms of the raw political reality of what those terms mean, Sweden Democrats is not far right. So that's what happens when they move the cursor so far. We're in. Come on, guys. What are you doing? Almost 200 people watching. What do you give me one or a finger? Okay, here's Summerlitz. You give me a one. Charles, one. Okay, there we go. Colonizer Grind said one. Sanders are pretty dead. Yep. Okay. All right. There's a few of you guys. One. All right. Otherwise, I won't do it. Woktopia with a one too. All right. Okay. All right. I'll consider it. So if the schedule allows it, I can come on like late Sunday Pacific time. and that's a good time for polls and everything to come in. So they were like talking about the night. Look at this here. Sweden will vote on Sunday in a tight election that has effectively become a referendum on whether the far-right Sweden Democrats should join the government. Bobby Wu with a one. JK with a one. Thank you. Should join the government and cement their journey from pariahs to trusted partners in a country once seen as one of Europe's most liberal. Well, it was seen as the most liberal because it was the most liberal in a way, right? And it could be it could be liberal because it was all Swedish. So it is the leftist dream, right? But due to the fact that it is liberal and internationalist in its socialism, it's not national socialism, it's international socialism. It's global homo socialism. Then they open their borders and decide to let all these people in. And of course, that's what making the country revolt against those ideas on average. Will we actually fully get there? We'll see. And I'm not saying that would hinge on a vote for the Sweden Democrats. I'm saying longer term, you know, fix to this, to the replacement genocide that we're seeing right now in Sweden and so many other Western European countries. But so if they truly were concerned about the political direction of the country, they're doing the very things that are spurring on the direction of the country. But they're not doing that. They're doing that because they think that they can slit our throats, you know. I mean, yeah, in some cases literally, but metaphorically speaking. Politically speaking, I guess, that we can squeeze them out and make them a minority forever and ensure that therefore they will never be able to vote for something right wing. But it's not about the voting. It's not about the politics. It's not about the ideology of the politics. Our enemies will use any political system against us in any capacity. It's not about left and right. It's about ethnic survival or death, right? Extinction or life for us. That's what this comes down to. And of course, that's why we'll never give up. We'll never stop fighting. We will no matter how few we are, no matter how marginalized we are, no matter how much we're pushed out to the fringes, no matter how much they ban and censor and block and gay-op us and put false voices or false people's champions in front of us to represent our opinions for us in a watered down, cucked way. We will never give up on this. You're going to have to kill us. You're going to have to kill us before we give up on our people and our nations. Okay, that's just how this works. So they're winning a tremendous amount of battles. Don't get me wrong, but they haven't won the war. Okay, and this is a war on whites. It's a war on the European race. The party with roots in the neo-Nazi fringe. There it is. Thank you, Reuters. Maybe they have it. Let's see if they have the poster that I was thinking about. Sweden Democrats apologized for past Nazi links anti-Semitism as election nears. So this from last year. Now, this, of course, related to partially due to the Jimmy Åkesson and the Sweden Democrats being let into the fold of the Zionists in Israel, where he went on. I got some clips. We'll show those later. Went to the Combating Global Anti-Semitism Conference in Jerusalem earlier this year. Speaking Hebrew and stuff like that. But let me see if they have that. Do they have it in the slideshow? Please have it. No, that's just Jimmy Åkesson. Okay, no. Okay. All right, we'll see if we can find it. It's a classic one. It's always good to watch it. Adam says things with the one. Jordy with the one, too. Okay, good. All right, okay. Well, it looks like you asked woman to cover it then. Oh, gosh. But check this out. The party with roots in the neo-Nazi fringe has around 19% of the vote, according to the latest polls. And the ruling center-right minority coalition has vowed to bring them into its block to secure Prime Minister Ulf Kristersson a second term in office. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think they would, right? But so last election, 2022, they got 20.5%, and it could be, of course, polls is never reliable. They'd say 19% here, probably less people that are intending to vote for them, even if they are polled, would probably not say that they are going to vote for you. There's weird things like that. But I'm saying if they still hover around 20. I mean, they did gain like 11 seats, right? The last election, which is good, which is fine. The popular vote, I mean, they beat the moderate party, which has been the second, for decades. It's been between the Social Democrats with Magdalena Andersson in heading that up, and the moderate party, now with Ulf Kristersson, who's the current prime minister. But they lost, everyone else has lost seats, right? Oh, the Green Party gained 2. Okay, otherwise, the Liberals lost 4, the Christian Democrats lost 3, Center Party lost 7. It's amazing they're still there. There's a bunch of pedophiles, basically. This used to be the Farmers Party, by the way, the Center Party. It's literally a bunch of pedophiles. And here's the Migrant Muslim Party, which is really the same as the Sweden Democrats. They should just merge, but they lost 4. But the Social Democrats gained 7, and the Sweden Democrats gained 11 seats last election, right? So 1.3 million people voted for the Sweden Democrats. And 1.9 for the Social Democrats, right? Then how big is the difference? Well, it comes down to immigration, right? It's at least nominally in terms of it's claiming that you're going to do something against it, right? Liberal can be pretty subjective depending on the context. Absolutely, usually liberal used to be associated with economic policies. Essentially, being economically liberal, right? So the moderate party are liberals, right? Economically speaking, they're not. There's no conservative party in Sweden. The closest, then, at least what they claim would be the Sweden Democrats, because they want to basically back up like 3 decades and then just stand there and wait. They're like, okay, let's not go far, but too far back here, okay? They want like a welfare state of the 1990s or something. I mean, like that's what. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, there has to be some change here. That's what I'm saying. If they hover around this, it's just like, oh, okay, it's no. There's no interest at all in trying to even save the country and helping. Trying to help in any capacity. But the local was out here too. They noticed here what I told you about here. Make Sweden like Sweden again, right? So it's like a make America great. There's no great in there, but it rings of that tone. Do you see what I'm saying? And it is interesting because a lot of these populist parties in Europe, as we've talked about so much, have pivoted towards becoming allies of the Trump administration, right? The AfD has, the Vox party has to a certain extent. I think the Sweden Democrats have, even if not out in the open, their policies have. And that could be the part of the reason why they're leaning towards the Israeli Zionist angle. Because ultimately, I don't, how much this just, in a country like Sweden, that just feels like a losing battle. Like it's you're going to undermine yourself in it, but it doesn't look like the people at the top, the leadership position of the Sweden Democrats, even understand that. And it's probably because they are truly aligned with Zionist interests. They're going on trips to Israel continuously. They're very concerned. They think they share this together, the struggle against Islamification with Israel, which is, of course, a big joke, right? As we've covered so many times. On paper, and for someone who's a newbie who doesn't understand how this works, sees like, well, I see burqas out on the street. I don't see yarmulkes. What are you talking about? Kind of thing. But they don't talk about like wars and destabilization. Iraq, Syria, Libya, Afghanistan before that. Now it's Iran, right? It's the Kurdistan thing. Somalia, Yemen. Where do we stop, right? So it's all these strategic enemies to Israel that America and the war on terror, the neocons, all that have gone to war with. And that's ultimately what's displaced tens of millions of people. And that's, of course, the excuse that these organizations in our countries use to push migrants into our lands. Because if there were no, I mean, would there be economic migrants? Obviously, yes, of course. I mean, that's what we're seeing too. In a country like America, you have H-1Bs, but they're equivalent of those types of programs in many European countries now too. The EU is going to reach out to a bunch of Indians and bring Indians into, you know, European universities and into the workforce and things like that. So the same thing applies there. But what I'm saying is that this idea of why we needed to open our borders to begin with was because we need to help these people. And so the excuse was these wars, right? And so they have organizations in our countries, like Paideia with Barbara Spector in charge, who's talking about how Europe has to bring in migrants, and we must become multicultural, which is multiracial, right? Otherwise, Europe won't survive, right? Which is a lie, as we know. It's a huge lie. It's a genocidal lie. It's a disgusting lie. But that's the way that they have sold it to us. But there's so many other people we could talk about. David Schwartz, back in the day, 60s, 70s, early debate articles in Sweden about how we have to become more multiracial and we have to help these people, started in local press papers. That debate trickled us all the way up to the national newspapers, 60s, 70s, 80s, media pundits, people in politics, pressure groups, right? So Paideia is fairly recently in that game, but they're working for a long time in Sweden with headquarters in Stockholm. And Barbara Spector's husband, Philip Spector, was a head rabbi at the Stockholm synagogue forever. So these are not some just shit-lib people. These are religious Orthodox Jews that are working to replace and ultimately genocide the Swedish people with these organizations. And they're not petty organizations. She has received prizes from the Swedish king. There's even people within the Sweden Democrats, as we'll look later, who has helped to secure financing for Paideia. People inside of the Sweden Democrats have insured financing for Paideia. So they're claimed to be against the Islamification, but they love Israel, and then they give money to Jewish organizations that are Islamifies, making Sweden more Islamic, right? But bringing in more Arabs, more Muslims. What's happening here? how does this even work, right? All right, anyway. Spectre is evil. Yeah, you had the other guy, Schauftan, right? I guess we should play for brevity. Let's play these clips. Let's do it. I know we've seen this. But we have to do it. Dan Schauftan, right? I think it was. Is that his name? Let me pull him up here too. My revenge on Sweden is Malmö. And he's talking about this thing that Sweden has traditionally been, because it's very, you know, left-leaning, human rights and all that kind of stuff, right? So it's been like pro-Palestinian. In the press many times, there's been this, there was this debate article. Excuse me, it wasn't necessarily a debate article. It was an article outlining about the Israeli organ smuggling. I think it was back in the 90s. And it was just like this blood libel, you know, kind of thing. Like, you know, how Israel had kidnapped Palestinians and taken their organs and things like this. And there was a Swedish, I think it was Aftonbladet or Expressen, who had covered that. And it was this huge, obviously, like, international thing, right? Because, like, how dare they say this? And in fact, and therefore now, you know, not just curse your seed forever, but let's exterminate your seed forever. Here's Barbara Spector, right?
I think there's a resurgence of anti-Semitism because at this point in time, Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural. And I think we're going to be part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies that they once were in the last century. Jews are going to be at the center of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make. They are now going into a multicultural mode, and Jews will be resented because of our leading role. But without that leading role and without that transformation, Europe will not survive.
A multicultural mode. Wow, that sounds super exciting. Of course, you've seen the clip, hopefully, many, 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 many times. right? Hopefully many, many times. And then it's like, it's going to be, but we're going to be resented, she says, right? Sweden, one of Europe's most dangerous places for Jews after October 7. Yes, because you brought in a bunch of Muslims. This is not hard. But you do have the other articles here too, where, you know, we know about Israel, we know about Paideia. Eritrean migrants resettled from Israel to Sweden. They're pushing their migrant population into our countries, right? These are people who have been running media companies in Sweden, right? The chief editor-in-chief of Dagens Nyheter, Today's News, Peter Wolodarski. Look at that. Look at that guy. Peter Wolodarski, about being an outsider. Yeah, we know. Thanks. We know. But going back to Paideia and the Sweden Democrats, here he is, Alexander Kristiansson, the Sweden Democrat here. He ensured that the Sweden Democrat gives 9 million Swedish crowns, Swedish kronor, to Barbara Spector. The Sweden Democrats and the government have agreed on a rain of gold over the American activist. Well, thank you for that. The Jewish American activist, Barbara Spector's left-wing radical think tank. And of course, I beg to differ. It might present itself as liberal and left-wing. But she's an Orthodox. She's married to a rabbi. This is a religious objective for her. This is not some shit lib because we do what's right. They just hinge their wagon on claiming we do it because, no, they are weaponizing people, other races against us. And they walk into an organization or set up, create whatever. They created it if they have to. So an organization like Paideia. Not only do they receive money and prices for all this, and they can give themselves hefty and very comfortable salaries at these organizations and groups. That's part of it, but that's not the main objective. The main objective is a race hate agenda by a Barbara Spector. Anyway, so Barbara Spector's Paideia organization in Stockholm received nine million Swedish crowns. This is announced by Sweden Democrats' cultural policy spokesperson Alexander Kristiansson and the governing parties in a joint debate article in Svenska Dagbladet. What is that about? How does that work? And in fact, that guy went down on his knees in front of a rabbi. You can see him here in the to the left in the footage here. Alexander Kristiansson. Look at this. Oh, look at that. They're laughing at him here. He's visiting some rabbis down in Israel, and it was someone who was killed or something, and he goes down on his knees. Oh yeah, that's the article right there, right? Giving 9 million to Barbara Spector. And he's a hyper Christian also. A Christian Zionist, right? He's an extreme Abrahamist, this guy. And I don't know, but I assume that's the main problem within the Sweden Democrats. I actually don't know, like, how Christian Jimmie Åkesson is personally. But I bet you that for them, this ties very, very deeply into that, right? Jews are special. They're a special people. We need to help them. They're better than us. It's the Abrahamic mind virus with these people. And that's why I think he's doing this. And so even groups that are making Sweden more Islamic are given money because it's Jews behind them by the Sweden Democrats who claim to be fighting Islam and Muslims. Here's Dan Schauftan. He was a national security chairman, and he was talking about his revenge on Sweden. It's an old clip we played a couple of times, but let's check it out again.
My revenge on Sweden is Malmö. You know, this is a place where people can't live anymore, and it's a very major problem, and they really deserve it. We only have two enemies in Europe at the moment, and this is Sweden and Ireland. My revenge.
Well, now they have Spain too. They have a number of other countries, obviously after October 7th, right?
On Sweden is Malmö. We have it.
And of course, what he means by that case you're not understanding what this is, what he means by that is Malmö is basically unlivable for most Swedes because it's so brown now. There's so many migrants there, right? And it's an Islamic hellhole. It's a Gates of Toledo type of situation. They open the gates to Malmö. And here's this Jewish guy who's a chairman of national security. I forget his exact official position now, if he even holds it or if he's retired. But the point is, he's not just nobody. He's not just anyone saying these things. We have clips, of course, of religious rabbis talking about how great it is that Muhammad is an increasing name in countries like France and England, Germany and Sweden. Things like this, right? Endless amounts of it. But he's an important guy. And he claims to have some know-how here in terms of why Malmö became the way that it did. And so how can Sweden Democrats support any of these people? It's fascinating, isn't it? Back to the clip.
At least 8-9 nations who are very friendly to Israel. Most European nations are fair-minded, even if critical. We only have 2 enemies in Europe at the moment, and this is Sweden and Ireland.
Because they recognize Palestine?
No. This is just a manifestation. The Swedes are always very hostile. We have elections soon, so maybe things will change in Sweden. But
yes, so they are. He's Sweden Democrat. He's pro Sweden Democrats. He understands
it. The Swedes and Irish are always very hostile.
What do you mean?
Look, the Swedes have this fantasy that they are the people who will tell everybody who's right and who's wrong.
Look in the mirror, buddy. Holy shit. Yeah, because we are those people. We're the ones who are chosen to have those opinions, to enforce them on everyone else.
And we look at them and say,
"Yeah,
who the hell are you?
Yeah. Actually, who the hell are you, Jew?
Use stronger language than this, okay, to ourselves.
Okay?
They're being ridiculous. Okay. And they have these perceptions that is,
I never heard that. I've never heard, these are completely new ideas. I've never heard any of this before. So the dynamic here of the upcoming election is, doctors, they claim to fight these things, and yet they side with the very organized, the very group, the very race, the very people, the very country that is it, not solely, of course, responsible. We're going to be very fair here, but they're not solely responsible. We have a lot of anti-Swedish shitlibs in Sweden too that are happy to do this and so forth, right? And you can argue what the, where their opinions come from, how their morality change, and all those kinds of things. But it gets a little bit too nebulous. We don't have to do, we can have that discussion. I think we should, but you don't have to bring that into it. You can just say that, you can boil it down to basically saying, Swedes didn't wake up one day and just collectively came to the conclusion that, I know, let's replace our own, you know, our own people. Let's make our kids a minority in our own country. That just didn't happen one day. These are multi-decade propaganda efforts to turn the type of socialism that was very, very nationalistic in Sweden into a very internationalist, you know, globalized type of socialism instead, to the detriment of our people, as opposed to being it to a benefit to our people, right? And it was external outside forces. It was you could say outsiders that came in and changed the mentality, primarily through media, but there was other means as well, like Paideia, for example. But anyway, I think you get the point. So here we go with the campaign here. Make Sweden like Sweden again. Yeah, what's wrong with that? do you like this new version? And I just fear that the Sweden Democrats, even if they did get the power, even if they did get more political power, they wouldn't actually do these things. They wouldn't do shit. It could just be a total bullshit effort to make another 4, 8, 12, 16 years go by. And then we're so demographically replaced while we put all our you know, hope and trust in the Sweden Democrats. But at that point, we're basically in the gutter, demographically speaking, and we will go extinct, and we've now lost Sweden, right? So America's interesting, putting pressure on countries in Europe, right? Like, soon you'll have, like, a a Muslim majority in European countries that have like, they'll have like access to nuclear weapons and shit. Like if they get, you know, if they get, you know, France and Germany and, well, Germany doesn't have a nuke, right? Do they have any nukes? I don't think they have nukes. Anyway, France, Britain, obviously, right? Countries like this. And so from this weird, like, so J.D. Vance can show up at like, you know, the Munich Security Conference and like, this is awful. Like, what are you doing or whatever? But it's not because they have some true moral qualms about the fact that white and European people are being genocided. They might have some novelty towards it. They might have some interest of like, oh, that would kind of be a shame or whatever. But this is just like some national security thing. But then it's like, well, the same thing is happening in America. It might not be Muslims primarily now that's the increasing demographic group, but eventually everything you claim you try to, you know, have tried to impose on Europe. I'm talking about like America's foreign policy and people in the national security state and these kinds of things, right? I'm like, yeah, that's right. We might have like Muslim European countries in the future if this continues. We better try to stop this somehow. Without, of course, recognizing like what led Europe up to this point, right? Of like helping to change the mentality, right? Cultural Marxism through the back door. Through NATO institutions, you know, through liberalism, through doctrines, the Marshall Plans, USAID, you know, these types of things, right? Anyway, it's a long story. I think I'm going too far in there. We can stay a little bit more topical here, right? Will childhood nostalgia and a bumblebee creature? A bumblebee create a buzz for the far right Sweden Democrats in the upcoming election? The local asks. There's another piece here too. The ECPS, the European Center for Populism Studies. There you go. Making Sweden Sweden. This is not good. This is not good at all. Or is it undoing the Sweden you know? Well, the Sweden you know, if you're talking about the multiracial hellhole of rape and hand grenades and clan gang migrant warfare on the streets of every major city and even small cities now in Sweden. If you're talking about that Sweden, that's fairly recent. That's historically, that's extremely recent. Extremely recent. This just happened. They're trying to pretend that that's the norm now. They're trying to gaslight you into thinking, well, that's how it's always been. In fact, the very foundation of Sweden was like a bunch of Africans, it turns out. And that's actually what the Swedish public television is trying to sell to us. Oh, we were always black. We're kind of just returning back to being, you know, black, if they even recognize that's an issue at all, right? Anyway, it's a whole long, whole soul-searching piece here. Oh, my God. This is how we make Sweden to become Sweden again, is the election campaign here, right? You know, with Bumble, it's like a cartoon, to like, let's make these. And it's fine. You can soften the edges of these messages or whatever. You hope that if they do get in and get power, that we just be like, you know, just lasers and guillotines day one or whatever. But will it? No, absolutely not. Unfortunately, it won't. But it says here, you know, they want to control over immigration and criminality, because, of course, criminality and immigration is related. They talk about gas, diesel prices, whether as long as you don't have your own production. Nothing's going to come from that, because those are international issues. And that's things like going to war with Iran on behalf of Israel that's leading to higher gas prices. If you want to, and the Russia-Ukraine thing of you know, turning you back to on cheap gas, right? Kind of thing, things like that. Or natural gas. But anyway, you get the point. Increased immigration to Sweden? No, the only party that doesn't want it is Sweden Democrats. I hope that's true. Yes, basically every other party. I don't know what they didn't put the moderate party there. It's something about the finances and Islam. Sweden free from Muslim or Islamists, right? And it's plenty of that. But again, if you have a problem with Islam, which Sweden should have and need to have, and this is an urgent, urgent thing, you shouldn't support the organizations and the countries that want Sweden to become more Islamic. You think this would be easy for these people to figure? You think there'd be someone in the party that can see what we, if we can figure this out, how come the second largest political party in Sweden can't figure this out. Well, I think they don't want to figure it out. I think that because they're in bed together, I guess. That's the only explanation for it. So instead, of course, they go to, Jimmie Åkesson is not in the image here, but he did go to this one. This is the second annual international conference on combating anti-Semitism, together with another bunch of, quote-unquote, far-right European politicians, these populists. And this is what you get when you try to MAGA align yourself, I guess. I think there were AfD people here. Austria, Spain, Belgium, Sweden, a bunch of these politicians, Poland, a bunch of these politicians, right? Hungary. What do you even do in there? You don't have to go there. It's totally pointless. But of course, Jimmie Åkesson went there, and of course, he was going to speak Hebrew.
Orchim nichbadim. Viroti verabotai. Sorry. distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, the poison of anti-Semitism is spreading across the world.
Number one issue.
Ha hazmana. Bial ha hisdamnut.
He might as well go kiss the wall. Did he go kiss the wall? It's a magification of American politics.
I can't.
I'm sorry, European politics.
Sorry. But I have one more thing to say.
Fucking embarrassing.
Anachnu mamshimchim ishelachem.
And then, okay? so a wife of a arguably then, a wife of the main rabbi in Stockholm has led the very organization that probably have done at least officially outwardly to promote the Islamification of Sweden. And here's the party that then gives them money to continue that process. So here's this absolutely ridiculous performative clown show here by Sweden Democrats leader Jimmie Åkesson to go down to Jerusalem to try to speak their language, right? But anyway, here's a couple of other clips in Sweden. In Swedish, I mean, will the Sweden Democrats impose any immigration restrictions? Let's see if I can translate this live here. I don't think it's subtitled. Let's play this.
Kommer SD vilja införa ännu striktare lagar angående...
Or is the Sweden Democrats going to bring in even more strict laws when it comes to immigration?
September.
Nu får vi det mesta på plats här. Det finns lite mer att skruva på när det gäller anhöriginvandringen, tycker vi.
So he says, most of what we wanted to achieve, we've already achieved. He's talking about like chain migration being an issue.
Vad som återstår att göra. Men jag kan tänka mig att det möjligtvis är det. Där man skulle kunna...
I mean, hopefully he's lying, right? So here he's talking with some conservative former Muslim or some Arab or something. Who knows, right? Hopefully they're just lying. At the same time, if that's the strategy, I don't think it is, but I'm saying if that was the strategy of like to gain more political, then you're losing your vanguard. You're losing the very people that would back you up if you could. So the climate has gone hot. It's gone harder. It's become more not extreme. Obviously, from the left wing's press point of view, it's gotten more extreme. But it's returned more towards normalcy in terms of the opinions that are being voiced, at least not in terms of what's being done yet, but at least in terms of the temperament of the people that are sick and fed up with the replacement genocide that's happening of European people. But then instead, the Sweden Democrats they fold, they back down, and they cuck even harder at a time when, like, no, now you can actually, you can increase the pressure now. You can turn up the heat. You can become more radical, sounds dumb and gay, but you know what I mean. Like, you can do that now in this environment. But that's not what they're choosing to do. I know that they're probably trying to, like, we just have to make it acceptable in every household in Sweden. But then what is it? If it's not, how are you different then any other party? If you're, like... the moderate party and even the social democrats will also claim that they're going to do all these things about immigration just to get the small pockets of pertain. You know, they don't want to have any grievance voters join. You know, going from the social democrats and voting for the Sweden Democrats, for example. So they will pay some very fine balance, obviously, while paying lip service to like saying we need to do something about immigration. Also catering to the Muslims, as we'll see, obviously. But here's one more clip. Jimmie Åkesson talking about that basically just is citizenship that determines whether you're Swedish or not.
Men för mig som politiker,
for me as a politician, and this is politics we're dealing with here, the only thing that is relevant is citizenship. So if you are Swedish, a Swedish citizen, then you're Swedish. And so then we will lose, and then our people will go extinct. that's basically what we're looking at here, right? So yes, it's painfully, with pain that I'm like, oh, like can you believe that in terms of voting and the political system, this is the best we got right now as an option. It's a sad state of affairs, but it's hard not to want to like them when you look around at the other options. Let's check. I was looking at TikTok for a little bit here, right? Here you can get information on TikTok here about how to vote in Sweden. We have. I don't think you can do full screen on this here. Let's play this here. Then this is wonderful, wonderful news here.
CEO, vote आपने किसी दूसरे शख्स के लिए नहीं डालना, आपने अपनी जात के लिए डालना। हम वोट डाल चुके हैं, हमने लोगों के प्रोफाइल चेक किए हैं और इन लोगों को वोट डाला है। ये क्रॉस का निशान आप देख लें, ये भी देख लें, ये भी देख लें। और अगर आपको नहीं पता किस बंदे को डालना है,
तो Vänsterpartiet, the leftist party. Here you go. This is what it's about right there. Here's information about how to vote in the upcoming Swedish election for you here. And this is immense pressure campaigns from all these ethnic hostile foreign groups of how we can move in and just like put down our votes for the very people that will continue to ensure that the Swedish people go extinct. That's basically what we're looking at. Let's take this one again. You gotta really study this here. Swedish election 2026.
Vote aapne kisi dusre shakhs ke liye
nahi vote? They don't even have a term for that in their own. Nushi Dagustar, right? The left-wing party, Vänsterpartiet.
Desio, vote aapne kisi dusre shakhs ke liye nahi dalna. Aapne apni zaat ke liye dalna. Hum vote dal chuke hain.
Ethical values, equality, sort of feminism, social justice.
Humne logon ke profile check kiye hain aur in logon ko vote dala hai.
They understand nothing of what this is, but on TikTok they're just saying grab one of these and then just write this name in there and then you put it in the box. Here's more.
የስዊድን እምርጫ በጉጉት የተጠበቀ ይገኛል አበሻ እንደተለመደው እንግዲህ መብት ያለ ሳትጠቀምበት ካለፈ በኋላ ነው ወይን ወሰኑብኝ ይሄን አደረጉብኝ ወየው ወየው የምትለው ስለዚህ ኢትዮጵያዊ ኤርትራዊ መብትን አውቀ ካርድ
አንድ Your voice can make a difference. Subtitle that, okay? እና
ተኩረት አድርገህ ምረጥ ለሃለው ስለዚህ ወሳኝ
Part 1 Sweden election 2026 awareness post.
स्वीडन में 13 सितंबर 2026 को जनरल इलेक्शन होंगे। स्वीडन में ये इलेक्शन हर 4 साल के बाद मुनाकिद होते हैं। वैसे तो स्वीडन के अंदर 100 से ज़ायद पॉलिटिकल
पार्टी। It sounds G-tarded.
इस रजिस्टर्ड हैं, लेकिन 8 ही।
Durka durka bang bang, that's right. Ashif Shabir, complete reporting on the Swedish election 2026.
ऐसी पार्टीज हैं जो हकुमत या फिर ऑपोजिशन का हिस्सा बनके स्वीडिश लोगों का
फ्यूचर। Is this Kurdish? And I mean, I don't care, whatever, but like the Pakistanis, the Kurdish, it's like Jeet adjacent. 52 Kurdish candidates to contest to contest Sweden's 2026 general election. Look at that. Look at that graph right there. It's a Durka Durka Bang Bang 2026. Here you go. Sweden will hold general elections on 13th of September. Go in Kurdish. Here's my ethnic. It's only one thing that matters to these people, and that's to shove their own people in your face, wherever they are, whatever country they go to, solely, strictly based on, I mean, you could say race, but in this case, ethnicity, right? Just 100% ethnic nepotism, ethnic, if you prefer, then preference, nationalism for them, right? They'll break it down. They hold your hand along the way, how to do it, how to vote, where to go, who to vote for, and they would just line up and just do it, right? A Kurdish candidate in the Sweden, a Kurdish, was like 26? 52 Kurdish candidates. Okay, fine. Yeah, but Durka Durka Bang Bang. Look at all, here's how you go about it. Lavlan Redar. Okay, we'll get to that one. This one was a good one here too. Here's a good one. There we go. There's the Social Democrats election campaign. Now this is nothing new. This has now happened for a couple of, at least a decade, I'd say, maybe a decade and a half, where they're not even pretending anymore. There's not even a moniker of for appearances' sake, you know, objectives involved in this process anymore. It's just, let's just cater to them in every type of capacity, whatever we can do, right? And in fact, here's one here. What mama walla, here's a Muslim here kissing this woman. And that's what you get. You get that face. This is why we need to get women out of the politics, right? It's bad enough with some men, but to have these women as part of this process, we're gonna have to take their quote unquote rights away. When we're done with this, we're not doing this again. This is not happening, right? Where they need to go, and they need to be taken out of these positions, right? An immigrant is like hugging and kissing the Social Democrat leader Magdalena Andersson on the cheek before he encourages Arabic viewers to vote for the Social Democrats. The video or the film is now spreading on the internet, and it's awakening reactions on social media. We're getting some reactions from this. That is correct. We're getting some reactions from this. Okay, here's another one. Arabic. What's the headline here? Arabic party leader promises to start a violent armed civil war if the Sweden Democrats wins. Yeah, who's that? Which party is that? You Scandis are racist. Watch out, damn well. It's a kind of a weird translation there, right? But okay, well, sure. Let's go. Can we do it sooner rather than later, please? But here's the other. Maybe I should read. Can I read this first regarding about fear and stuff like that, right? This is interesting. They poison the population. Swedish Muslims challenge far right ahead of election. Now, it is interesting then that, so this Muslim is walking around in Malmö for some type of campaign here, or talking with people or whatever. Ask a Muslim, I guess. The Ask a Muslim or Fråga en Muslim campaign. Where the headline the Guardian pull out from one of the comments here is that the far right, the Sweden Democrats, is poisoning the population. It's like this ethnic pollution of having these people in our countries, the fact that they dare to talk about how us returning our country to normalcy is poisoning the population is, well, it's beyond retarded. But we don't expect these people to understand these type of contradictions. There was a quote in there. Ask a goat rapist. Yeah, maybe. Sitting in a nearby park, Unyangung 42. Where's the... Is there a reference to that person before in the archive, in the article, I mean? No, it's not. Okay. Unyangu, is that... It sounds African. Is that African? I'm just curious. Surname, origin. Tanzania, Kenya, Uganda, South Sudan. Okay. Okay. So some Negress, 42, sitting in a park somewhere here in Malmö, said that the atmosphere in Sweden had become horrible for immigrants amid the far right's steady increase in influence. Finally, we're getting somewhere. We're getting it done. Some good news. I feel like they are poisoning the population, he said. Oh, I thought it was a... Okay. Well, I don't know why I thought it was a woman. I thought it was a woman, but okay. Okay. Even worse, it's a man. They've created an environment where if you're not a Swede, you are scared. Excellent. Thank you. Finally. So I hope that's true. Unfortunately, that's not true. It's not nearly true enough in every part of Sweden, I guess, to be honest. But it's funny that they have no conception of why are they fed up? Even if this was I don't think it's strong. The reaction is not strong enough at all. Considering everything that's happened, there's like a handful of these cases of just brutal gang rape and stuff that's happened that you'd think would be the absolute tipping point for the population, which shows you just how much we're willing to take, right? I mean, it's sad. It's unbelievably sad, to be honest. It's horrific. It's like it makes you think: maybe there is nothing then that will cause the cup to flow over. Maybe there isn't a straw that will cause the camel's back to break. I don't know. But the fact that they have, I mean, these people are retarded too. For the most part, they don't understand. They don't look at these things. They just think. They're just there to collect welfare, and their presence makes the country best, much better, you know, the best there, because they're the best, and so they're contributing to that or something. So I understand that you can't argue that, but even so, now you'd think that there'd be like, okay, fine, I kind of understand, right? So the part of the solution here is to vote for the Sweden Democrats, I guess, just in order to create an environment of, because the media will hyper fearmonger around this, obviously, right? And so I guess that's a good thing. That's a win. I'm not seeing this as a solution to the problem primarily or solely, but it's a small step maybe there to the path of creating an environment where they feel that they're no longer welcomed. And if that's true, right? If the party that's causing people who are not Swedish to not feel welcomed in Sweden is the second largest party in the country, that means it's a large segment still of the population that are willing and able and capable, despite being called Nazis and racists and far right and all these things that you think people would just not care about anymore. They don't give a shit about that because they realize what's at stake, right? So it's a sizable portion of the population that are willing to go there. Not nearly enough. It's unbelievable that it's taken this far. And so we'll see Sunday then. We'll cover some of this Sunday and we'll see what the numbers are. But speaking about being afraid, here's Fredrik. I'll see if I can pull up the story from them. Swedish politician from the only immigration critical party in parliament has had her horses stabbed and her chickens killed because of her political views. They even put her chicken's head in her mailbox with the note, "You will die, racist scum." That's the peaceful left stabbing and killing innocent animals. Of course, we don't know who's done this, but of course, I should be very surprised if it is a migrant. So I don't even think they carry. I mean, if they come across them, they're not even dedicated enough to do something like this. This is like some Antifa bullshit, right? But there's a young woman here who is part of the Sweden Democrats, Jenny Voitonen, a Finnish last name, had one of her horses stabbed in the at the top of the head there, as you can see in the photos. Browns don't care about animals, so it's definitely them. I mean, it's possible. It's Örnsköldsvik, I think it was. Oh, here's the Frötida piece here. Let's click in there. Let's see if we can read a bit more about this. Yeah, it's... Do you see what I'm saying, though? It's like, to look up the address, that means she's... excuse me. Yeah, leftists love animals. Not if it's animals belonging to a racist. I don't know. Antifa might just steal the animal, something. I don't know. What kind of animal stabs a fucking horse? Well, an animal wouldn't. That's the point. These are subhumans. They're not... to compare them to animals would be an offense to any animal. There's beyond like the playing with prey or something like that occasionally, which has a... I guess a function in terms of like the social structure or something within like a group of animals, you know, beyond that, or like a cat playing with a mouse or something before it eats it. There's nothing that really at least gets off, right, on like torturing animals or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's very rare. Excuse me, overall. I don't know. I think it's other white shitlibs that done it. I'm just saying, migrants to go out on a farm. I mean, it's not impossible. Of course, it's not impossible. But finding where this woman lives, if she's out on a farm, you got to go out on the countryside and target and write notes. You see what I'm saying? I think it's leftists. But I could be wrong. You're going to die, racist bastard. Sweden Democrat woman's horse is stabbed. Someone has stabbed Swedish Democrat politician Jenny Voitonen's Voitonen's horses and killed several of her chickens. Previously, she received a letter with the message, "You will die, racist bastard," according to Örnsköldsviks Allehanda. And at that, Örnsköldsvik politically, it's far north enough to still maintain. It's not like, the most racist Swedes are those who have had the most exposure to migrants longer, right? So the more south you go, the more racist Swedes you have, essentially. Örnsköldsvik is far enough north. I'm not... there's migrants there, but I'm saying it's far enough north for it to be white Antifa people. Anyway, it remains to be seen. So she leads the Sweden Democrats group in Örnsköldsvik. She tells the local newspaper about recurring attacks on her farm in Trehörningsjö. Each incident has led to a police report, but of course they don't do shit about this. It feels like I'm reporting to the police all the time, she tells Örnsköldsviks Allehanda. During the summer, a horse in the yard suffered a deep cut in the forehead. Before that, a horse had been attacked with a knife in the front leg. The treatment at the vets was costly, but the horse is now doing well. Already last winter, several chickens were killed. There were dead birds in the enclosure, and in the Sweden Democrats woman's mailbox was a hen that had her head cut off. Yeah, Jenny Voitonen herself has also been threatened with death threats in the past. A letter said, "You're going to die, racist bastard." The paper drew attention to that threat almost 3 years ago. So nothing has happened. She's not getting special protection. Oh, look at this study. Somali IQ even lower than previously thought. Exactly. Who swings chickens? Bobby Wu. It's true. Someone swings chickens. The question is, who would that be now? All right. Anyway. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, going to switch gear here in just a little bit. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you. Hey, if you like the show, do consider supporting it, obviously. Albert made a huge donor earlier, and we're so thankful, and we appreciate you. But don't put it all on Mr. Albert's shoulders. King Albert, can't do this alone. Donorbox.org/redeyestips. Make sure you check the little box that says write us a comment. I'll see it on that this end right here. Powerchat.live/redeyes. Anything over five reads out on live here on the air. You can use Ko-Fi as well, or, of course, Rumble Rants. We appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for the support, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate you joining us. Hope you're enjoying the show here. Help us out. Give us a dono. Don't have to be a profound message. Just show some appreciation, some love for what we're doing here, if you like what we do. We got 200 people watching over on Rumble. We have a bunch of you guys watching over on X as well. We're going out on Kick, Red Ice TV, redicemembers.com. So get in there. Don't be shy. Show us some love. We appreciate you. All right, check this out here. I'm not sure. I saw, what's it? Basil the Great or something. It came up when I spoke with Mark Collett the other day. The account, pure slop, seemingly. It's like, oh, this is a good, you know, nationalist account or something to follow. But he talked like a migrant ship had sunk off the coast of Tripoli. And people are like, oh, the great news. So I was like, okay, let me look it up. What can I find? What can we found here? Find, rather. And I saw there was two stories from Info Migrants. One was about the Lebanese military had rescued. He made it sound like a bunch of people had died or something. But then instead, the Lebanese military stepped in to rescue at least 22 people after a migrant boat broke down and sank off the northern coast near Tripoli in what authorities describe as an attempted smuggling operation. Yeah, you think? Is there any video of this? Because this is unrelated to the Ocean Viking, which I think is this video, which is even more like, oh, gosh. Why, though? Yeah, the Ocean Viking. Let me see if they had a video. Maybe they don't yet. Yeah, oh, no. Oh, no. No, no video of this yet. But there was nothing about that in the fact that the... it did sink, though, but they made it sound like it was Poseidon had taken some scalps here in the off the coast of Tripoli. But apparently, that's not the case. It was not a Mediterranean wind here. Here's one, though, another one, which is also from today. Let's play this one.
I will give one by one.
Another 78 people have been rescued in the Mediterranean, including women and. Including women and unaccompanied minors. Yeah, there's always so many of them, isn't there?
The person give it to the other one.
One which was newborn this week. Well, maybe you shouldn't go on a smuggling boat if you have a newborn. But somehow this is our responsibility, and we should apparently feel, I don't know, sad or something for these people. I don't give a shit. And in fact, these boats should be sunk so that these people learn and understand that they shouldn't be doing this. And in fact, where is the international pressure of going after these smuggling gangs? We're covering this when we talked about Ceuta, right, in Spain. They're like Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. They're just like helpless to shut down the accounts of like internationally, like known smuggling networks. There's like international criminal smuggling networks, human traffickers that somehow are still using these mainstream social media platforms. Nationalists can be rooted out of every corner and banned for whatever reason, but somehow international smuggling criminal gangs is just impossible to find for some reason. So we're not here really hearing a lot about actually them, like them being held accountable then for being, if you don't want to blame the migrants themselves, let's at least then blame the people like responsible for driving the migration or enabling that. Let's say that. I don't care about these migrants. I don't give a shit anymore. We're full. No room. I don't care. You have issues? Fine. So to go and take care of your issues in your own country. I don't care. That's the end of it, right? But the people that are driving the migration, the people that are making money on it, the people that are importing them into our countries, there's a lot of people who you potentially could criminally go after, right? Is any of that happening? No, instead there's like BBC pieces about how we discovered this smuggling network, gang in, I think it was London, I mean, I forget what it was now, like, but it's like this hilarious, like where the BBC had stepped in and done like an undercover piece to expose this smuggling network. Let me see if I can find it. BBC undercover human trafficking migration smuggling. Let me see if I can find it here. I'll just show you. Okay, they've done multiple. BBC investigates violent cross-channel migrant smuggling gangs. Key people smuggler arrested after... Okay, so okay, okay, so at least someone was arrested after something like this. Okay, what is this here? Cardo Jaffe's closely guarded identity was unmasked by the BBC. My point is this. They have special social media units in the UK right now to target and to go after people that are critical of migration, those who are encouraging protest outside of migrant hotels. They have this huge thing in Dover recently, right, that's just popped off. Maybe we should play some clips from that in a moment. Portsmouth as well. And we might not kind of align always with the people that are behind these protests, but it's still nice to see a bunch of young men going out on the streets and shutting down like these boats that are coming into their country and stuff like that, right? But what I'm saying is that we have special units dealing with those things. In this case, the BBC has to go out there to like try to claim to like somehow represent law and order, I guess, to bust, you know, human trafficking smuggling clans that are making money on bringing in brown people to in this case the UK. But the police is totally incapable of doing anything like this. All right. Let me see if I can find. Maybe we should go to those stories. Yeah. Do we have them? Yeah, I think here's. Yeah, here it is. Okay, we'll get to this here. Yeah, nearly 1,000 men now at Dover. With hundreds more en route. This is 5 days ago now, right? You guys hear this?
Everyone on the road.
Come on! 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 Come on!
So that's great to see. Dover, Portsmouth. I assume these are not Tommy Robinson fans. Question mark. Refreshing to see. And then it turns out, they're Danny Tomo fans, which is Tommy Robinson's right-man hand. So Danny Tommy Robinson. Danny Tomo Robinson. Turns out it's just one person here, really. This is a honeypot operation. I hope that's not true, because it's... Does everything have to become on? I mean, it's likely. Who knows? You know what I mean? At this point, because they understand, like, if we don't stop this, if we don't go in there and control it, they're going to do it themselves. So they go in there and they start it and they control it. That's why they put. That's why they promote someone like Tommy Robinson, right? Because he's a compromised fucking cokehead who is insincere about everything, and he's more concerned about shutting down Nazis than it is about stopping the genocide of his own population, the white people in Britain. So that sucks. But I still like seeing it. What we know about anti-migrant protests and organizer Danny Thomas, or as Hugh said there, Danny Tomo. BBC, all right, okay. Let's check it out.
Over the weekend, we saw men in black and balaclavas blockading roads in Dover on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we saw anti-migrant protesters closing a road in Portsmouth, trying to stop migrants being taken away in coaches to Kent for processing. So how are these two things linked?
The answer is Danny Thomas, known to his supporters as Danny Tomo. He's a long-term anti-migrant activist who set up a new group called Patriot Platform in July.
He said he was tired of protests and flag waving and he wanted to start what he called mass resistance. And Saturday's balaclava protest with its paramilitary look was that group's first outing. Then on Sunday,
so,
when a boat of migrants...
So he managed to get a huge amount of guys out for that, right? And obviously there should be plenty of guys here who are genuine. How long has Patriot Platform been around, right? That's the... Let me see. And of course, they have wider reach. This is why the media promotes Tommy Robinson by attacking him. I know that's contradictory, right? But, the more they target him, the more his supporters will grow and he'll get the attention. And that's the point of a Tommy Robinson. That's why they do it that way. They know that this is where it's going. They understand that if we don't provide someone for them that they can just kind of rally around, this can get out of hand, essentially. So it is a containment strategy. At the same time, I think there's a lot of genuine people who are with us that don't understand those very complex backdoor decisions that are being made about this kind of stuff. Who are attending this? Patriot Platform. When was this set up? Let me see here. Let me just see. Yeah, June 2026. The UK anti-migrant group Patriot Platform was created in June 2026 by far-right activist Danny Thomas, also known as Danny Tomo, former associate of Tommy Robinson. So he's not... Does anyone know what the dispute there is? A network of uniting desperate local regional patriot groups like the Kent and Essex Patriot into a cell-based organization. First public meeting held in mid-June 2026, followed by a larger gathering in July 2026. Okay. The UK government condemns anti-migrant protests. Is this all just a... Because... You don't just bring these many guys out after being created in June. I want it to be real. It's real. I'm saying again, I think there's a lot of people. At the same time, I think was it Danny Tomo that were doing the live stream down was it YouTube? Let me see if I can find that real quick. We have some clips from that we can run, don't we? I think we have that. Was it this? Yeah. I believe this was from Danny Tomo's live stream. Let's play a little bit of this. It's short here.
Oh, shit.
Quick, give it to me. Give it to me. Yes, we're in.
Don't come yes. Nowhere near us.
Give it. They can't take us. They can't. Right. If you go. Let me jump in the water with you.
That's Danny Tomo, right, talking. A woman on a kayak has just delivered, supplies to Danny Tomo in the sea in Portsmouth, where he's preventing invader boats landing. Okay. YouTube. He's on YouTube, right? Which is always interesting. Right? When they're kind of allowed to... Let me see here. Was that live? Let me just see here. Was that a live stream? Let me see. Here's Danny Thomas YouTube. Maybe as a secondary, the men are holding the line. But yeah, here's an hour live stream. Here we go. 4 hours. Portsmouth Beach blocking Patriot Platform streamed 4 days ago. 707,000 views, right?
Where are they?
I'm just saying.
What are you here for? Come on.
All of this is great on the surface and fantastic. There's awesome. There's guys here mobilizing. They're getting together. They're organizing stuff. They're live streaming. They're trying to stop these boats coming to be at Dover or Portsmouth. But I would assume, because the British government is very, very, very hard-lined about this, right? That if this was seen as a illegal thing or a problem to the government, they would get YouTube to shut this down. Am I wrong in thinking that? For some reason, Danny Tomo is allowed. I saw some clips, and it's great that he's doing it, but you have to question why, right?
Leave. 3 months ago, a migrant gang raped a young car. I can't even talk. Look at the facility they got, guys. Look at it. Share this.
So this is kind of interesting because so legally he could stand in the water. It's literally like, it's now maritime law, bitches, or something. I don't know. There's like a thing here, right? So they can't actually catch him, apparently, if he's in the water, as far as I understand it. But if he goes onto the beach, they can actually get him, right? But why? I don't want to be that guy. I'm not the guy who's everything is fake and gay and controlled and all that. So I genuinely want this to be a grassroots. I genuinely want this to surely, with the state of things in Britain, all the sentiment for opposing what's happening is there. All the energy is there. Everything, right? But I would assume that if Danny Tomo was any type of real threat then to the and maybe he will be banned. Maybe he will be banned and says when it's fairly early still. It's if he set this up in June, he had a big meeting in July, August, 3 months basically. We're now into September. If he keeps this up, if he's not shut down, that then something is going on. I would assume, right? Has things changed now on YouTube, right? 700,000 views, right?
Everywhere. Share it everywhere. Look what they're doing. They're doing tents. Look at them. Is there a dispersal? You didn't say that to me. You didn't say that to me. You legally have to tell me that. Well, now I fear for my life.
Yeah, so that's look at that. That's the migrants that are being brought in industrial scale into Britain, right? And so this guy, and together with his other lads there, would basically want to shut this down, right? Which is great, fucking fantastic. More people out there doing it, right?
I'm not going to commit suicide. I'm just saying, I'm going to go for a swim. Look what you're doing, guys. Have you not learned? No, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, water. Frank! The water is apparently
Frank!
A legal safe zone, as far as I understand.
I need someone to give these keys to Frank. Mate, you come
and of course, it's so hard, these things. I'm not saying he's faking everything, but he understands also the drama around this and making it, you know what I mean? Like, do whatever you have to do to get draw attention to it. I'm not going to be one who's like, it's very hard to be dismissive of this kind of stuff, right? But the close proximity to Tommy Robinson is a huge issue and a problem. And the fact that these people seem to be kind of allowed to do what they're doing, more or less, is also a big red flag in this day and age, especially in Britain now with all the censorship and stuff, right? So we'll see where this goes. But it is this. I'm just saying this is what happened here in Portsmouth and Dover over the last few days in the UK.
No? All right, cool. This is Portsmouth. This isn't Dover. This isn't. I'm not going to get arrested. That's. Look at the coaches. Look at the coaches. That's. Look. Get to fucking Eastney right now. Right now.
So I'm saying if
he's. Fags are wet now.
He gets. All his fags are wet. That's right. I forgot to say fags about cigarettes in the UK. That's awesome. All my fags are wet now. That's the that's the line right there. How do you go back 10 seconds with it? You can do it on the keyboard. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it again.
I bet all my fags are wet now.
Oh, I
really could do with one.
I bet all my fags are wet now.
Sorry, Mum.
Anyway, you get the point. Okay.
We got.
Anyway.
How many we got?
So this is a bit dramatic. It went into the evening time here. There was a couple of times he's talking to one of the police officers, like a young girl was just raped. What the hell are you doing
right now? Yeah, the ones that are in Dover.
Me fags are soaking. That's right.
Those coaches are not leaving. So let's come up with a plan. What's the plan? You send them back. I want to negotiate. It's come here. Get me a negotiator.
If he's encouraging other people to go down there. And this is like kind of in a legal gray zone, whether or not he can or can't do this. I would assume that he was shut down, right? So for now, just distant. Let's observe and see where this is going here. But apparently this is getting a lot of attention over the last couple of days here, right? The Guardian again. What is Patriot? What is Patriot? Let me tell you about the latest thing you should join. Look, that's what it feels like. And I get that they also attack things that are legitimate, so it's not this simple. It's not a cut and dry. If someone talks about it, that means it's fake and gay. It's not that simple either. And the Guardian doesn't even need to be prompted on this. They don't need to get a memo from like a fucking MI6 or so or MI5, whatever. They don't. I get here's just a thing who they think is Nazi far right racist, and they will make these pieces about it, helping to promote them at the same time. Then right. What is Patriot Platform? The far-right group that descended on Dover and Portsmouth. Campaigners say anti-migrant collective, which gathers together a series of local groups, is home to a host of violent criminals. So here's accusations of like just as an example, we had some Jewish Asian writing a piece in The Guardian about how we had a guest on Red Eyes. It's like 2019, I think it is, or is it 2019. We had a guest on Red Eyes that had said favorable things about Anders Breivik in Norway, right? And of course, that was not the case. Those are not the words. It was not that. That's all bullshit. And it wasn't even said on our show. There was comments about like to the contrary, on another occasion, the comments were like, "We shouldn't do terrorism because that's a bad look," you know, basically, right? But they just wrote that like, they just basically had a terrorist sympathizer on their show, and that's when Facebook shut down our Facebook page, right? 2019. Here you got someone who can like bring thousands of guys to the streets down in the UK. Where the papers can make accusations of violent, they're being violent criminals.
Cocaine rim job sent $5. Heil Henrik.
Heil cocaine rim job. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Very, very nice. Very kind of you. Appreciate it. All right. We're far away from the Albert Challenge today, ladies and gentlemen. Support is abysmal today. If it wasn't for Albert, what have we been doing here? Got to support the show, ladies and gentlemen. Donorbox.org/redeyestips. Let's shill our shit. We're never good at doing it, so let's do it. Donorbox.org/redeyestips. You can also go to redeyes.tv/live, and you got the embedded widget to Donorbox right there. Give us a dono. Show that you support the show, like the show, if you want us to continue. Powerchat.live/redeyes. You can use Ko-Fi as well. Rumble Rants. Cocaine Rib Job. Thank you, man. Appreciate you. All right. My point is, they're violent criminals. Technically, this should be an easy deal to shut down their social media access, right? And I'm not saying that because I want them to be shut down. I'm just saying it raises red flags. Does it not? Am I wrong for saying what is this promotion of Patriot Platform all of a sudden, right? Look, again, they got the guys out there. It's great to see. Hundreds of masked and hooded anti-migrant activists descended on an English coastal town and the city over a weekend, blocking traffic in and out of the port of Dover. And they were gathering in Portsmouth after it emerged, a boat full of people had been rescued at sea and brought ashore there. Yeah, one boat. Is that what happened, Guardian? Thank you. Yeah, where has it come from? Who's leading them? What's the protesters' plan? Here's the videos to help promote it and everything. Man, I hope they're legit. Black-clad Dover vigilantes will return if police do not act, say campaigners. Far-right linked group able to mobilize at scale due to police inaction, says founder of Hope Not Hate. Wow, what a surprise. They wheel out... oh my gosh, what's his name again? Not Danny Thomas, that's the other guy. Nick Lowles. Lowles, right? I'm trying to find... He had like some... What was it? A Caribbean mom or something? Was that what he had? Ethnicity. Mixed British and Mauritanian heritage. His mother is from Mauritius. Mauritania? Is that what it is? Mauritius? And moved to the United Kingdom in 1961. His father was a British social worker. Lowles have spoken about how his childhood awareness of racism was shaped by his Mauritanian mother and the anti-immigrant political climate of the 1970s. Yeah, I wonder why they had an anti-immigrant sentiment back in the 1970s in the UK, considering where it is now. But it's interesting, though, because Nick Lowles is listed here under list of British Jewish writers. So is his dad a Jew then? Or is a Mauritian Jew? Maybe the mom is. Nick Lowles, founder of Hope Not Hate and former editor of the anti-fascist Searchlight magazine. I don't know. It's interesting. So he's going to tell us how to... Yeah, that was the other one. Right? How to defeat the far right. Here he is. Here's Nick Lowles right there. There's a basic decency among British people. Hope Not Hate's Nick Lowles on how to defeat the far right 11 months ago. All right. Here's more coverage of the anti-immigration protests here.
As a politician, I believe in the right to peaceful protest, but what we saw in Portsmouth obviously crosses a line. It was thuggish and intimidating behaviour.
Yeah, so they disrupt traffic. I mean, was the green groups that are keep doing that. No more oil. And what is the other one? There's a couple of them, right? So it's like, oh my gosh, they're shutting down commerce. Like you care about that. Yeah, man, I hope this is...
The level of boat crossings is at a seven-year low, 43% down. The numbers of people coming over in boats compared to last year, this year.
Yeah, so therefore it's fine. Therefore, it should keep happening. Therefore, the protests are not legitimate because they're down now. This is like this retarded view. No, they're against it because all those people are now in Britain, and why would you even want one more? In fact, all the other ones need to go. Yeah, but migrants continue to cross the channel. Exactly, of course they do. Info migrants, and they think it's really good. By the way, info migrants—they're very positively inclined towards all of this. All right. Holy smokes! Holy smokes! So I hope it's real. I hope there's no issue there with Patriot Platform, but yeah, it's good. It's great to see it, and then it seems kind of sus at the same time. I can't shake that. You know what I mean? I cannot shake that. All right, I'm gonna cover something else here. This is kind of interesting. Yes, migrants are invaders. Correct. The invaders. There's the invasion is down a little bit, so don't protest the invasion this year. Because it's down this year. So now it's fine. You should be fine with it. Well, we have this, ladies and gentlemen. Let me go over here. Of course, we've been covering the Lindsey Clancy trial and all that, the mistrial, rather. And three jurors. I know other people have played these clips too, but it was kind of interesting. And we're going to play one clip here. Three female jurors were spotted here and I guess highlighted by NBC News, the local NBC Boston. And one interview here was, I guess it kind of speaks for itself, to be honest. He had the hardest time getting over the fact that Lindsey had viciously killed her children, was one of the quotes. Now, of course, we covered it. The lone male holdout on the jury that basically said he wouldn't get a budge, right, on this issue. Hence, we got the mistrial. But listen to what she said here.
Try to understand. We read to him on numerous occasions the definition of reasonable doubt from Judge Sullivan's instruction. He actually said one day in the end, well, why don't we have the judge come in and read it again? And we were like, no, we have it in front of us. We don't need that. And we would highlight it and, you know, so-and-so, this is the definition of reasonable doubt. But he had the hardest time getting off the fact that Lindsey viciously killed her children.
Some hell of a quotes here that are coming out from this here, too. Female jurors in the Lindsey Clancy trial ripped the lone male holdout juror who refused to side with them. He would not interact with us. Yeah, the hardest time. Yeah, there's more of the same. Here's some of the other women here.
He was very arrogant. He really did not take anything that anybody said. The nurses, he tried to ask a question about the medications, and we went back to the report from South Shore Hospital. We had the toxicology report. We could see exactly the amounts. The nurses in the room spoke to that and talked to that.
There were nurses on the jury. There were nurses on the jury.
Yes.
Sorry.
And they spoke to that specific thing. That was a question that he had. And he just completely disregarded the information that they gave him.
I mean, he had reasonable doubt. He admitted he had reasonable doubt after we watched that video of the interview.
Star.
I think that's
when
it was. He admitted he had.
And they were like swooning over the defense attorney.
Reasonable doubt. And I started filling out the forms. I was so excited. I actually, there were three forms I had to fill out. And I started filling them out. I wrote my signature on each one. And then he said, but I'm still not going to say that she's not guilty by reason of insanity.
I'm not sure if rogue is the right word, Sue, but every one of us in the hours of her frustration would get up and walk the room because you just couldn't sit anymore. And we'd all go over to the cart with the exhibits. He, I think, got up to the cart once very briefly and went back to his seat. He would not interact with us and
wonder why.
Try to understand.
Good man.
We read to him on numerous occasions the definition of reasonable doubt from Judge Sullivan's instruction. He actually said one day.
Yeah, Gary Busey
looked
like this, right?
Well, why don't we have the judge come in and read it again? And
Gary Busey tranced everybody.
Like, no.
Well,
we
kinda.
We have it in front
not
of
not this
us.
One, the other one.
We don't need that. And we would highlight it and, you know, so-and-so, this is the definition of reasonable doubt. But he had the hardest time getting off the fact that Lindsey viciously killed her children.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, what can you say? Lindsey Clancy juror Nick Darigley told ABC the holdout grabbed the same exercise band used on Cora, Donson, and Colin, wrapped it around an empty water bottle and pulled. Yeah, because of course he wanted to see, like, the holdup was reminding the room what this case actually was. Three murdered children, not a therapy session. There you go. Good boy.
Dargy told us one time he confronted the holdout after the man picked up what Clancy used to strangle her kids.
He took the exercise band out of the bag, grabbed an empty water bottle, and tied the band around the water bottle and pulled it.
Yeah.
Did he explain why he did that? No.
Why do you think?
He might have. I'm not entirely. I think I was just so shocked that he did that. Like,
is that a mimic of how she killed the children?
Yeah, I assume so. Yeah.
Dargy told us one time he confronted the holdout
to try to remind the others that, like, she viciously killed her kids. He's the bad guy. Nick Darglier. Have they talked to anyone else yet? Have they talked to the guy? Yeah, here's Busey here again. Yeah, the defense attorney was funny, entertaining. His compassion towards Lindsay was amazing. They loved it. It's amazing.
Just his whole demeanor.
You are here now. You now have to argue with these crones that, like, killing your kids is bad. I mean, if you think about it, the abortion was the slippery slope to get us there, basically, right? You can now kill your kids for mental reasons.
Just his whole demeanor,
yeah,
was funny. Mm-hmm. And there was one time, whatever he said, I don't know, but I went. Because he was entertaining, yeah. Which was good because we needed some of that.
Yeah.
We needed some entertainment in this murder case here of the three kids. Yes.
At the same time.
Yes.
Like arrogant and entertaining. He would go back and forth between that.
Yeah.
But compassionate.
Yes.
With his arrogance. Yeah.
His compassion towards Lindsay.
Yep. No chance. I had no chance with these women. The prosecution had roughly zero chance with these kids. Yeah, mimic kids strangling. Is there anything new? No, I think that's it. Lindsay Clancy jurors said they had a problem with how harsh the prosecution was towards Clancy, who murdered her three. Wait a minute. Is this new?
I just found it to be harsh, Sue. Very, very harsh. I mean, again, and maybe we're talking with ourselves here,
yeah. But
the fact that they had no character witnesses in regard to Lindsay of being a bad mother. I mean, right out of the gate, it's like you're presenting all these medical professionals, but nobody's presenting for the prosecution a woman and a mother of three children. So I found it to be biased right out of the gate.
We weren't trying to figure out if she murdered the children. She did.
So they had... Exactly.
And she's admitting that.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to figure out, did she know right from wrong at that time? And with everybody saying she...
Frankly, doesn't matter.
Loved her children so much, and everything proved she loved her children, from her journals to her mother-in-law... Everything proved that she loved her children, so she had to have snapped.
Yes, that's great. I don't think you kill them, and it doesn't matter there in terms of like, oh well, insanity or blah blah blah. I don't care. I really don't care. Thank you, X. Appreciate that. All right, so here's one more then, because of course we got to turn this into racism issues. Colin Rugg. Room full of women on the Oprah show starts cheering after a doctor says that black female child murders need to be supported too. Well, don't interrupt them, okay?
And the other thing that I would just be remiss to not say is I hope this never happens again. We know statistically it really will.
It will.
I want us to have the same passion for people who don't look like Lindsay. Who don't have her same access. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we knew it was only a matter of time. I mean, it's very white-coated, this whole thing, right? This is like, you know, Maine. I think it was Plymouth County. Was that what it was in Maine? Plymouth County. Witch trials. It was like a medieval European, you know. Do you see what I'm saying? And I said that too. It's mostly, you know, this is a white concerning thing here. And But this is not good enough. Now you need, you need, they need also to be able to get, they don't like, what was it, the white kidnapping phenomena. Do you guys remember this? They had this a while ago. Why, let me see, why does America care so much when a white woman is, goes missing, maybe goes missing. Let me just see if there's a the missing white woman syndrome. There you go. Which prioritizes the disappearance of white females over people of color. Late journalist Gwen Ifill first named this trend. This is the same thing. Like if there's something. And it doesn't matter even if it's down to killing your kids. We need racial representation in terms of the focus on when we kill our kids too. And I was like, I agree, I guess, to a certain extent. NPR 2023, missing white woman syndrome, the media bias against people of color. What's this fascination with when something happens to white people, you know, kind of thing. Let's take that again. This is gold.
Statistically,
fantastic stuff.
It will. I want us to have the same passion for people who don't look like Lindsay, who don't have her same access. Yeah. Who don't have her same access and education, her melanin, her privilege. There are women of color sitting around this country in prisons for this same thing that we've never heard of. And I just want...
Wow. Oh my gosh. It's so unfair, isn't it? Why? Wow.
Women of color sitting around this country in prisons for this same thing that we've never heard of. And I just want to remind us to have the pink shirts and the energy them as well. And the other,
my gosh, what a bunch of fucking freaks. And it's amazing and it's hilarious. Totally insane. Not really. I mean, sure, yes, but not in an insane society. There's like genociding whites right now, and this is the mentality here of like, you got to bring more in when it comes to the child killing thing. We need more representation, okay, everybody? Or in the focus on the child killing thing, we need more representation. I'm just like, fine. I think you should have it. Is this real? Yes. I don't think that's AI. I think that's absolutely real, everybody. I think that's how it goes. How it goes in an insane world. All right. Oprah loves children. Yeah. Yeah, I saw the, on a scale, was it, how much do you love kids? And it was Lindsay Clancy in the bottom with 0, and then it was Jeffrey Epstein at the top with 10. And I was like, this is, I'm not doing this one. This is, we're not even on the same scale, ladies and gentlemen.
That's you! Right. Out of the gene pool!
That's right. That's right. That's the Magnum guy, isn't it? That mustache? Anyway. Time for another flood. We need a reset. Yeah, well, we got Apophis, you know, 2029, ladies and gentlemen. Could be a strike. It could be a hit. We'll have to see if we get a hit. We have, let me just see here. Is that, yeah, okay, that good. That is pulled in. Okay. All right, should we do a couple? Maybe we should wrap up, actually. We're about 2 hours in. A little bit more if you're watching the stream. But I think that's a good time to wrap her up for now. And then, of course, we're going to be back tomorrow. It's almost 6 o'clock here, local time, in North Idaho. We got a couple of things to cover for tomorrow, obviously, quite a bit for Flashback Friday. We got a great show, ladies and gentlemen, lined up tomorrow. So don't miss it. Definitely don't miss it. We're going to be back with Flashback Friday tomorrow, as usual, 5 p.m. Eastern. We're going to do an After Flash with The Dissident. We're going to do part two of Peter Thiel's AI God. We did have some AI news. I think we'll do it tomorrow, maybe adjacent to that, then right at the end, about Anthropic, talking about another, all these Anthropic people are like discussing human extinction driven by AI. And I mean, they're not on a long enough time scale. They're not wrong, but they're also using it as a hype mechanism to like basically, you know, create buzz around Anthropic, essentially. But anyway, so we'll talk more about that tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, if you like what we do, you can check out redicemembers.com. You can go to Locals or Subscribestar. We are now on Substack as well. I got to pull that into the graph here. I'm just trying to do that by tomorrow. Redicetv.substack.com. We're going to upload all the members' content there from now on moving forward. So if you're interested in Substack, you want to find us over there, redicetv.substack.com. But you can use subscribestar.com/redice. Or redicetv.locals.com, or of course, redicemembers.com. The full archives is on the members' website. So check that out. Years and years of great stuff for you guys to enjoy there. Western Warrior, many, many, many interviews and streams. We got exclusive members' content and videos, After Flash, as we said, Western Warrior, a bunch of other stuff you can get there as well. It's only $10 a month, but it helps us tremendously. So do please consider becoming a member, because we can only do this with your help and your support. We're only here because of you guys. If you want to get some merch, you can do that over at lanaslama.com, as we're showing up on screen right here, right now. Red Ice hoodie, very comfy, organic cotton hemp blend, not too thick, perfect for this time of year if you're in the northern hemisphere, in the southern for that matter too. Check out the hoodie, very, very good quality. You get a Flashback Friday shirt there, black. You get a black folk first, or black and white folk first design. Those are some of the latest. There's also older designs down below on lanaslama.com, and those you can get 50% off if you punch in Flashback Friday 50 on lanaslama.com, and you can get those 50% off. That's the folk first designs. The Solar Boat, the Us Under Rouse. We got kid shirts or toddler shirts, onesies, all kinds of stuff on there as well. So check that out, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so that's it for us today. I do want to say thank you to our executive producers, though, before we wrap up the stream for today. Ladies and gentlemen, where are you guys? We got to find you. We're not leaving without you. We're going to say, give a shout out. Where's my... I should just have that on a shortcut. Where are you? There you are. All right, let's do it. Here you guys are. Executive producers, King Albert, Arctic Wolf, first out the gate. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. We have William Fox from America First Books. Angry White Soccer Mom, thank you for your support. We have Purple Haze. Thank you. Appreciate it. We got Glenn. Thank you, Glenn. Much appreciated. We got President Bunga as one of our executive producers. Thank you, sir. We appreciate you. Good Luck Lap, also one of our executive producers. Thank you for your support. We appreciate you. Number One Jeebs, same thing there. Thank you so much for your incredible support. We got Hungarian Mom as well. Thank you to you and the fam. We appreciate you. Sun Destroyer 520, thank you. We appreciate you. We got The Deplorable Extraordinaire. Thank you so much for being an executive producer together with Santoso. We appreciate you as well. Thank you so much. We also have The Boo Man. Thank you so much for your support. We appreciate you, Boo Man. We have Charles Turner Jr., who I saw in chat today. I think we read your Ko-Fi chat last stream, did we not? DJ Snow as well. If we didn't, Charles, I do apologize for that. We got Bertrand Comparative as well, last but not least, as our executive producer. Then we got our producers. Yuan Son, Lero Dumont, Ice Open, Single Action Army. We have Lord H.P. Lovecraft, Trevor, Der Schwabe, Alcyon, Aurelian, Perfect Brute, Greg M., J-Bar, Chris W., Skarzinski, Muskrat, Centurion, Scott James Henderson, Deer in the Headlights, Hadrian, and Ernst Jaeger. We got a new addition as well, but we didn't decide on the name yet, so we're waiting for that. Thank you. Appreciate you guys as producers or executive producers. We can't do this without you. This is a great way to support the Red Ice streams and shows and videos and everything we do. Get a special shout out from us here at Red Ice while you help us grow and expand. Go to redicemembers.com or subscribestar.com/redice, whatever works for you, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Okay. Who says that? Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Okay, anyway, guys, thank you. Appreciate it. Just reading the chatter. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you. So we'll be back with more tomorrow. Flashback Friday, as usual. tune in for that because it's going to be a great show. We got tons of good stuff lined up for you guys. So join us as we head into the weekend tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern. That's 11 p.m. Central European time. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Folk first, as always, stay white, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a great rest of your Thor's day. See you soon. Now, do make sure that you follow us on our Rumble channel for more Red Ice TV on Rumble.com or on X at Red Ice TV. You can, of course, go to redice.tv as well. Tune in to our live streams and shows, Flashback Friday, live on Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern, No-Go Zone Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern. We also do interviews, videos, clips, and Western Warrior is available Tuesdays, exclusive for our supporters and subscribers at redicemembers.com or on our locals, redicetv.locals.com or subscribestar.com/redice. Get a membership, check out everything that we do, and support the show.